Daniel chapter 10. We have three more chapters in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, 11, and 12. And really, the last three chapters are one vision. Tonight, we're going to talk about what Daniel was doing to get ready for that vision and how it came. And then the next two chapters are a continuation of that, the vision itself and some of the things it means. Now, some Bible scholars think that this is the greatest vision that Daniel had, greater than the visions that we've talked about as we've studied the book of Daniel. And if it's not the greatest, I mean, I'll let other people decide that. If it's not the greatest, it certainly is the most unique. It's the way that God communicated with Daniel, and this one was different. It fills in a lot of the details about the previous visions that he had had. It also sort of pulls back the curtain and lets us look into the world of angels and the spiritual realm, the good angels and the bad angels, and the conflict that's going on between them. And the key to understanding chapters 10, 11, 12 of the book of Daniel is in verse 14 of chapter 10, where the Bible says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the later days, for yet the vision is for many days." And so it's a long-range look. God's giving Daniel a long-range look at what's going to happen to his people, the nation that he chose, Israel. And again, one of the unique things about this chapter is that we get to read about an angel and some angels, the fallen angels as well, and we get to speak into the spiritual world. And as we look at it, we're going to see that there's good and bad angels, fallen and unfallen angels, that angels exercise a free will. They had to have a free will because a third of them decided to rebel against God with Satan. Satan didn't make them do that. They decided that on their own. I believe that God created angels with a rank or an order, a position. And it's mentioned in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, where the Bible says, "For by him, God, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So everything that we see and that we don't see in heaven and in earth were created by God. Now, here's one. Actually, I'm studying three books as I teach the book of Daniel. A couple of them agree on, as they talk about angels here in chapter 10, that verse in Colossians, they give a little breakdown. And so the thrones that were mentioned there in that verse, talking about the archangels, okay? So there were three of them. The dominions, we're talking about the cherubims and the seraphims that we read about in other places in the Bible. The principalities were sort of the generals in the angelic world. And the powers mentioned in that verse were such that were the privates, so to speak. We would be those would be the angels that would indwell people, would be the angels that serve as guardian angels. Now, some of those, again, the book of Revelation tells us that a third of those angels rebelled against God and fell from heaven as Lucifer or Satan did. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities," that same word in Colossians 1:16, "against powers," again the same word in Colossians 1:16, "against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." So as God has an order to the angels that serve him, so Lucifer has an order to the angels that serve him. Again, the principalities are the generals, so to speak. Okay, they were generals in God's ranking. They're generals in Satan's ranking. In Satan's scheme, they have oversight of the nations of the world. Again, the powers are the privates. Those are the ones who possessed people in Satan's world. The rulers of darkness of this world are in Satan's army. Those are the ones that have charge of Satan's business in this world. And then the spiritual wickedness in high places are the demons who try to infiltrate religions and turn people to Satan against God. And those last two groups, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, they are in ceaseless warfare for the souls of men. Okay? So, as we're warned, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. For our enemy goes about as a roaring lion, using the demons that are under his control that fell with him from heaven, trying to devour us. All right, chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So, third year of Cyrus, about 534 BC, about 4 years after the vision of the 70 weeks that we've spent the last couple, 3 weeks here on Wednesday night talking about. A thing, notice what it says, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, okay? And again, it didn't come by way of a vision. He's going to see a man. We're going to see tonight a certain man, and that man, I believe, is Christ. Again, we'll talk about it in a minute. But then Christ is going to send an angel to explain something that Daniel had asked about. It says there that the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and so it's true in that it's going to happen, but it won't happen right away. It's going to happen in the future. And it says there that, and he, Daniel, understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And so when God gets through communicating with Daniel, he's going to understand exactly what God had in mind for his people. Now, same thing's true about us. When God tells us something, we don't have to doubt whether it's true or not. He is the truth. And what he tells us is true. Sometimes when God tells us something, we want it to happen right away. But sometimes, like Daniel, we have to wait for it. Sometimes when we ask God for something, he gives us the assurance that he's going to answer our prayer. But it doesn't mean he's going to answer our prayer in our timing. His timing is always better. He always knows best. And so, again, Daniel is our example. When God reveals something to us, we can know it's always true. But again, the timing may not be our timing. All right, look at verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, at this point, we don't know what Daniel was praying for. Okay, he was praying and he was fasting. And again, it was something that he had done his whole life. And so he wasn't changing now that he was old. The habits that he'd formed and the things that he'd done his whole life, he was continuing now in his old age. He's probably well past 90 at this point. Third year of Cyrus. You remember in the first year of King Cyrus, he was the one that made the decree that the Israelites could go back to Palestine. And we know at this point from reading the book of Ezra that about 50,000 of them had returned home. Now, we might think of 50,000 as being a lot of people. And if they were gathered in one place, they would certainly be a lot of people. But compared to the people that were in Israel when the Babylonians came, 50,000 was a drop in the bucket. There were many that were still in exile that even after 2 years of getting the permission to go home had not made the trip home yet. Perhaps that's what Daniel was grieving about. Perhaps that's what he was fasting about. We don't know. Again, he was at least 90 years old. He had sort of retired from active service. He had been an advisor to Cyrus in his first year, but there's no indication that he continued after that. And so he was praying about something. And again, maybe it was because more of the Jews hadn't gone home. We don't know. And God hadn't answered his prayer. And so for 3 weeks, he prayed and he fasted. He didn't eat, and he did not drink. Verse 4, and in the 24th month 4 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. And so it was the 24th day of the first month, Nisan, comparable to our April. That river is known today as the Tigris River, one of the rivers in Babylon. And so that's where Daniel was. In verse 5, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So he sees a certain man. Who? A lot of Bible scholars don't want to identify this man. They just think they say it's a heavenly visitor. But again, as I've studied, I believe that this was Jesus Christ. I believe that Daniel was seeing the Lord. You remember when Jesus was on earth and we read about the parables that he told? A lot of them start out and were told about a certain man. I believe that this certain man that Daniel saw was Christ. Now, you keep your eyes on verses 5 and 6 there of Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to turn to the book of Revelation, and I'm going to read a couple verses and just compare the description. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Of course, that was written by the Apostle John as he was on the Isle of Patmos, as he saw the Son of Man, as he saw Jesus. And so again, I believe here in Daniel chapter 10 that when Daniel saw this certain man and describes him, that he was actually seeing Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So when Daniel started out, there were other people with him. But when he saw this man, the others didn't see him. Fear came over them. Okay, even they couldn't see what was going on, but they got so afraid that they began to quiver, and they ran away to hide. And so Daniel was left alone. Now, as we think about the Apostle Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, a similar thing happened to him. He said, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man, as Paul saw Christ. And so these others didn't see anything, but fear came upon them, so they went and hide. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Here's what Daniel says. I was left alone to experience God. I came into the presence of Christ. I came into the presence of God, and I was left alone to experience him. Many that we read about in the Bible had that same experience. Abraham had to leave his homeland and his family before he truly had an experience with God. Jacob was left alone when he wrestled with that man until the break of day. Moses had to go to the backside of a desert and get by himself before he had an experience with God. Elijah had to be driven to the brook Cherith when Jezebel came after him. Had to be alone there in the wilderness before he could have an experience with God. Jeremiah, many times in the book of Jeremiah, talked about Jeremiah walking alone as he experienced God. John the Baptist was in the desert as he got to know God before he began his ministry. Paul spent 2 years in solitary confinement in that same desert after he saw Christ on the road to Damascus. And of course, John was alone on the Isle of Patmos. It's a wonderful thing to come together and worship God. It's a wonderful thing to gather in this place as we do 3 times a week and corporately worship God. But sometimes you got to get by yourself. Sometimes you got to get alone. Sometimes the experience with God that you remember the most and that mean the most to you come when you're alone, when nobody else is there, when it's just you and God, where God can get your attention and speak to you and deal with you. Now, it's funny, and I like this, is what one of the guys said, in contrast, the ungodly and the unbelievers are gregarious. They don't like to be left alone. They join in the mobs. They join into packs. They run in packs. It's only when we as Christians get alone sometimes that we really experience God. And so Daniel said, no strength. I retained no strength. That's the same, again, the same reaction that the Apostle John had and when he saw Christ on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I lost all my strength. I fell to the ground. And that's what Daniel says. Verse 9, and yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Some think he lost consciousness. When he heard Jesus talking to him, that he went into unconsciousness. Verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And so he was on his hands and his knees after this hand touched him. I don't think the hand was the hand of Christ. I think it was the hand of another angel that God had sent as a messenger to heal, to tell Daniel what he wanted to know. Could have been Gabriel. We've read about Gabriel 2 other times. As he's come to visit Daniel, but here he's not identified. But look at verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. You remember back in chapter 9, that's what Gabriel told Daniel. Hey, I've come to show you the vision of the beast that you've seen, the he-goat and the ram, and God sent me. And by the way, Daniel, you're greatly beloved in heaven. And so here, this man, whether it was Gabriel or not, said the same thing, a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. This angel told Daniel, said, get up, don't kneel in front of me, because I'm not worthy of your worship. Again, John experienced the same thing in Revelation chapter 22. The Bible says, and I, John, saw this thing and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book. Worship God. Angels will not desire our worship. Angels bring glory to God. And so this angel told Daniel, hey, get up. Don't bow down to me because I'm not worthy of your worship. Then verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, now again, it's been 3 weeks, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Daniel, I know you've been fasting, you've been praying for 3 weeks. And you know, sometimes we pray and we wonder if God hears us because he doesn't seem to answer. Here's Daniel. said, God, do you hear me? I've been praying and I've been fasting for 3 weeks. And here the angel said, hey, God heard you when you first prayed. He hears us when we first pray. And he says, I was sent, I was sent when you first started praying. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So for the 21 days that Daniel was praying, this angel was on the way. Now, you remember in chapter 9 when Daniel prayed and Gabriel came, he came right at the end of the prayer. And we read the prayer, and it took us about 3 minutes to read the prayer. So when Daniel prayed in chapter 9, in 3 minutes, Gabriel was there. Now, this angel could have probably made the trip in 3 minutes as well when Daniel started praying 21 days ago. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. And so somebody blocked this angel's way. No man could block an angel's way. It had to be another angel. Many think this was Satan that blocked this angel's way. It could have been Satan. It could have been one of his lieutenants. But whoever it was, in the order of angels, the angel that blocked this other angel's way was more powerful, stronger, higher in rank, however you want to say it, that the angel that was on the way to Daniel was. And so he couldn't get through. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And so when he couldn't get through, he called for reinforcements, okay? And Michael came, okay? Michael was the warrior angel, so to speak. Gabriel's the main messenger. He's the one that brought word to Joseph and Mary about the birth of the Christ child. He's the one that we've seen earlier in the book of Daniel that brought word to Daniel. But here Michael comes to help me. Now, verse 14 again, and we'll end with this one. We'll end where we started. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the later days, for yet the vision is for many days. Again, Daniel's concerned about what's going to happen to Israel. He's concerned about what's going to happen to God's people. And so the angel said, I'm coming to tell you. I'm coming to tell you. In the later days. So again, going back to chapter 9 and the 70 weeks, it's probably going to happen in the 70th week. It's part of the great tribulation that God's going to talk about. And the vision is for many days. It's not close. There's a lot of things that have to happen yet as opposed to something happening right away. Now, again, when Daniel saw it, there was a lot of time. You fast forward from the time of Daniel to the time of now, I believe it could happen at any time. That 70th week could start at any time. The church could be raptured. The great tribulation could start. Halfway through that, the Antichrist is going to rise up. And in these chapters, we're going to read about what God's going to tell Daniel about what's going to happen to Israel, to God's chosen people. So we'll stop there. We'll pick up next week. Probably going to be another 4 or 5 weeks before we get through with the book of Daniel. So just hang in there and we'll make it through. Thank you for being here tonight. The men will be praying. The ladies can pray. And again, Bill and Don, and you guys are going to have to decide if you'll still fit in there, if you need to go. Okay, so we'll start back here right after the service, and the ladies can pray over here if any of you would like to. Okay, let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.